الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 28th of January in the year 2018 alhamdulillah we moved on to the 48th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And I've reached a stage where I've mentioned that in his last battle in Persia, the two holy allies had gathered, i.e. the Persians and the Romans, together with the Christian Arabs. And after a 6-week stalemate, they finally decided to come over the river. And Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu and the blessed forces defeated them. So the next section is entitled The Secret Pilgrimage. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu spent the next 10 days in Al-Firat, i.e. where the forces were defeated. Thereafter, his forces made their way back to Al-Hira, i.e. the objective given to him by Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. For this march, it was formed into an advanced guard, a main body, and a rear guard. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu let it be known that this time he would be in the rear guard. However, as the rear guard filed out of Al-Firat, they were the last to leave, Khalid radiyallahu anhu and a few other close friends suddenly struck out on their own in a southerly direction. They were heading home to Makkah to perform the Hajj, which was due in a fortnight. So basically, Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu, his mission is complete. He's going back to Al-Hira, which will take maybe, you know, a steady pace, a week or so, maybe even a bit longer than this. So he decided to be in the rear guard so he could slip out without anybody noticing to do the Hajj. So why was he keen to do the Hajj? This should not come as a surprise, for undoubtedly the Hajj and Umrah are also a type of jihad. And thus were very dear to the veritable sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For instance, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu said in Sahih Bukhari, number 1516, mount your saddles for Hajj, for undoubtedly this is one of the two jihads. Mount your saddles for Hajj, for undoubtedly this is one of the two jihads. So Umar clearly said that Hajj is one of the jihads in Sahih Bukhari. In another report, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu clarified, when you remove the saddles from your horses, I return from jihad. Then mount the saddles, I on your camels, for Hajj and Umrah. For undoubtedly, this is also one of the two jihads. This is in Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 8808 or 5-7. So note, horses are used for jihad and camels for the Hajj. And Umar was basically saying, when you get your saddles off the horses, put the saddles on the camels to do the Hajj. It's one of the two jihads and Umrah he mentioned. In another report, it is related that a companion was asked by his wife to give her a camel as transport to perform the Hajj. And the husband replied, he had donated it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he couldn't give it to his wife to do the Hajj. On hearing this, the messenger of Allah replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you had allowed your wife to use this camel, then too it would have certainly been used in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Abu Dawood, number 1990, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 1779, or 1-658, Sahih Hadith. So misconception. The Sahaba thought that he's donated the camel fi sabilillah. He did not think for his wife to use the camel for Hajj, his vow is fulfilled. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the camel, if it was used for your wife, by your wife for the Hajj, that is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, again, clearly indicating a direct link between Hajj and also jihad. Indeed, in a famous report, our beloved messenger was asked, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which deed is best? And he replied, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jihad in his path, and an accepted Hajj. This is in Tabarani in his Kabir, Al-Haythami in Majma Az-Zawaid, number 5264 or 3-476. So what was the question? What is the most beloved deed, Ya Rasulullah? The best deed. The first is Tawheed, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, he didn't say then. He goes, jihad and an accepted Hajj. Note that in this hadith, all three deeds, Iman, jihad and Hajj, have been equated with each other, for the word thumma, i.e. then, has not been mentioned to differentiate between them. Think about that. The Prophet didn't say this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best deed is Tawheed, then jihad, then Hajj. Did he say that? He equated it. Because the best deed is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jihad and Hajj. Accept it. So note, jihad and Hajj are mentioned frequently together. So therefore, do you honestly believe that Khalid bin Walid, who loved jihad more than probably most of us, if not all, after the prophets and messengers, is not going to do something which is related to jihad? So note, he had a passion in his heart, and look how Allah Ta'ala dealt with it. He got a little lull, and he thought, it's my opportunity to do the Hajj. In addition, what greater fortune can the pilgrims receive than the priceless dua of no other than our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who made the following dua for them? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, supplicated, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive the Hujjaj and those whom the Hujjaj seek forgiveness for. Subhanallah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive the Hujjaj and those whom the Hujjaj seek forgiveness for. This is in Tabarani, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 1612, or 1-1609. Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated Da'if in his Da'iful Jami, number 1177. So the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to forgive the Hujjaj and those whom they make dua for, to seek their forgiveness. It's not your dua, it's the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, when you go to Hajj and Umrah, this is a priceless gift given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what was the route he took, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu? The actual route taken by Khalid bin Walid is unknown. In Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 583, it mentions, Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu and his comrades traversed a trackless waste, a difficult and inhospitable region which no guides knew and into which even bandits failed to tread. He and his comrades traversed a trackless waste, a difficult and inhospitable region which no guides knew and into which even bandits failed to tread. So basically, we don't have details except this. He took a path that even those who are waiting to attack and to plunder, they don't even go there. Right? Meaning he chose a path that nobody knew about. Only those who were very keen with regards to the geography of that region. Did they make it on time? Yes. At Makkah, they performed the Hajj inconspicuously to avoid being recognized. When they had completed their rites, they rushed back to Iraq. So imagine, he's done all that in Iraq, and now he's coming on a quick Hajj, and he's on his way. So what is the quickest Hajj you can do? You be there at Arafat, and after Arafat, you do the Tawaf, you shave, sacrifice, and then you do Tawaf, and you're out. So he's there for a few days, then he rushes back to Iraq. The speed at which Khalid radiyallahu anhu and his adventurous comrades traveled can be judged from the amazing fact that the Muslim rear guard had not yet entered Al-Hira when Khalid had rejoined it. Indeed, he had rode into Al-Hira with the rear guard as if he had been there all the time. So think about that. He split it into three: the front guard, the center, and the rear. So the front had already reached Al-Hira. The center had reached. The rear was entering, and he joined them. So they thought he was always with us, Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu. Subhanallah, only the commander of the rear guard had known this secret. But the men did wonder why Khalid and a few others had shaven heads. Because what happened to his hair? So he did the Hajj. And there's a lesson in this verse. The lesson is, what excuse have you got? Right? Oh, brother, what it is, you know, I'm... mashallah, jazakallah. Now tiding of the peace and quiet which prevailed in Iraq, Sayyidina Khalid decided to lead a raid in person in the area close to the capital, Ctesiphon, to send them another timely reminder that their time is almost at an end. So obviously his mandate was the Persians. So he thought, right, I'm going to breathe on the capital now, Ctesiphon. Thus, along with Muthanna, rahmatullah alayh, he raided the prosperous market then known as Baghdad. And then returned with various wealth. So it got strange, like I mentioned, this was a market. Now he goes, what's the capital of Iraq? He goes, Baghdad. Well, like the English say, Baghdad. Baghdad. Right, Baghdad. And this was just a market in those days. So he, and this was close to the capital of those days, Ctesiphon. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was now breathing upon the very capital of the Persian Empire, Ctesiphon. And he wrote them the following letter. In Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 2, page 554. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 369 to 70 of the New English Translation. Imam Sha'bi, he relates, rahmatullah alayh. Banu Buqayla read to myself the letter that Khalid bin Walid wrote to the people of Madain. It read, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalamu ala manittaba al-huda. And salutations to whoever follows the guidance. Surah Taha, Surah 20, verse 47. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has fragmented your unity, taken away your kingdom, and weakened your plans. Take heed. Whoever performs our salat, faces our qibla, eats what we slaughter, then he is a Muslim who shall enjoy the privileges we have and also bear the responsibilities we bear. After this, I wish to add that when this letter of mine reaches you, you should, if you are of sound mind, send securities to me. Then you may rest assured I shall give you protection. Otherwise, I swear by the being besides whom there is no other God, I shall dispatch against you a people who love death as you love life. When the Persians in the Madain district read this letter, they were horrified. This occurred in the year 12 AH, the first year of Abu Bakr's Khalifah, radiyallahu. So let's look at some of the key points here. So he wrote a letter to Madain. This is thereabouts Ctesiphon. This was their capital. Right? Madain is the Arabic, you know, they named it Madain. So he starts off with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He sends the holy verse, peace be upon those who follow guidance. Then he says, Allah Ta'ala is taking away your kingdom. He goes, take heed, note. In other words, he's warning them. He goes, haven't you learned yet? Nobody can stop us. Take heed. Offer the salat. Face our qibla. Eat what we eat. Then we are one. Then he says, if you don't, then at least submit. Save blood. And we shall give you protection. Then he says, if you don't, I am sending against you people who love death as you love life. Now, what was their response? Look how interesting. First time he sent the letter, they laughed. Second time, they sent armies. Third time, now they're horrified. Because he goes, this is serious. And this occurred when? 12 AH. Imagine how many months has passed. The Prophet ﷺ passed away in Rabi al-Awwal. This is the third month. Hajj has just been done. 9 months into Abu Bakr's Khalifah. Radiyallahu. However, subhanAllah, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu was not decreed to be amongst those who saw the capital fall. This would take place later under the gallant leadership of Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu. In addition, if Khalid radiyallahu anhu hoped that he would not be recognized in Makkah, he was sadly mistaken. He had hardly got back from the raid on Baghdad when he received another letter from Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu warning him, do not do that again. The warning was also accompanied by another great mission to be placed on this most blessed man's shoulders. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to now proceed to Syria and the Romans. His majestic campaign in Iraq was over. So what happened? He wasn't decreed to take the entire Persian Empire. He would have done it very easily, but he was directed towards Rome, the Romans. And who was given the honor? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the second face, radiyallahu. So somebody far greater than him dealt with the Persians. Secondly, Abu Bakr knew he'd done the Hajj. And he didn't tell him, he just said, don't do it again. In other words, that wasn't in your mandate. I told you to take Al-Hira, which you did, to deal with the Persians, which you did. I didn't ask you about Hajj. But don't do that again. Then the letter was given. You have a change of plan now. So now, before moving on, concluding remarks on his campaigns in Iraq, there's a few things we need to explain. The initial and most vital phase of the liberation of Iraq was a divine sign to one and all who care to reflect. The believers fought several bloody battles with the mighty Persian forces, much larger in size. And they not only won every battle, but also inflicted crushing defeats on the Persians, and of course their Christian Arab comrades. And all this was done when the Persian army was the most fearsome military machine of the time. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu's strategy in this campaign, and it was one from which he never swerved, was to fight the battles close to the desert, which his routes to the deserts open in case he should suffer a reverse. The desert was not only a haven of security into which the Persians would never venture, but also a region of free, fast movement in which he could move easily and rapidly to any objective that he chose. This is very interesting. Allah chose the Prophet as the last Prophet in Arabia. There's a divine wisdom in that. Because the Persians and Romans did not bother with the superpowers, with Arabia. It's too inhospitable. They say that, desert, who wants this land? Now, because they didn't venture into it, did they know the geography? No. Why would they bother? So what's happened? It's the perfect place for the last message. They're not being polluted by the Persian Roman empires. It's pure. The race is pure. The blood is pure. And when finally the armies of Islam are launched, they've got the clear advantage of the desert. And that was used by Khalid. The main instruments, he did not enter deep into Iraq until the Persian army had lost its stability to threaten his routes to the desert. Only then he entered into Iraq. The main instruments that Khalid used to make his ambitious maneuvers successful were two: the fighting quality of the believers and the mobility of his forces. Though only a part of his forces were actually cavalry, the entire army was camel mounted for movement and could strike at the decisive place and time as his illustrious commander wished. Above all, it was Khalid's personality that made the initial phase of the liberation of Iraq possible and successful against such staggering odds. He imposed no hardship upon his men, which he himself did not bear. It was this limitless faith, which is what he has had in the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that made it possible for them to brave such dangers. So obviously the men were inspired by Khalid. He was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were inspired by him. And he didn't put them into anything which he didn't do himself. And soldiers love commanders like that. In addition, they observed with their own eyes many miracles, which manifested at the hands of the venerable leader, some of which I have mentioned earlier. So we don't need to repeat that. They saw the miracle of the poison. Right? They saw the miracle of the poison, and they saw the miracle, Khalid himself saw the miracles in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there are other miracles which they also witnessed. For instance, in Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 4, page 4, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 625 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Khaythama, radiyallahu anhu, he relates, A man once complained to Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu anhu. A man once came, to Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu anhu with a casket of wine. Khalid, seeing the casket, he made the following dua. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, transform it into honey. The wine thereupon changed to honey. So this is one report. So what was the why? We'll come to that. This man wanted to get some wine through the ranks to knock it back. Khalid was suspicious. He goes, Ya Allah, change it to honey. And when he opened it, congratulations, Shifa'ul Linnas. On another occasion, it is related in Ibn Abi Dunya Al-Isaba, volume 1, page 414, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 626 of the New English Translation. A man passed by Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu with a casket of wine. Khalid asked, what is in this casket? The man lied. He goes, it's vinegar. Khalid responded, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it vinegar. When the people looked at it later, they found that it indeed was vinegar, even though it had been wine. So this is another incident. So the man goes, vinegar. May Allah make it vinegar. So imagine, going back to his boys, time for the party, what with? Mug vinegar. In another report, the man responded, in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 114, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 626 of the New English Translation, Oh, commander, it is honey. To which Khalid replied, may Allah Ta'ala make it vinegar. The man returned to his friends and said, I have brought you wine that no Arab has drunk before. When he opened the casket, he found that it was now full of vinegar. To this he remarked, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dua of Khalid has struck it. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dua of Khalid has struck it. So why is that interesting? Because there was people like this. You know, they were weak people, you know, working under him. And he knew what games they were playing at. And all he would say is, may Allah ta'ala make it honey. May Allah ta'ala make it vinegar. May Allah ta'ala do this and that. And they would then, to their shock, see his dua was getting answered. One can only wonder what impact this would have had upon those who saw these miracles with their very eyes. Allahu Akbar. Most appropriately, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the first of the illustrious Muslim commanders who set out to liberate foreign lands and thus redraw the political and religious map of the then entire world. Sayyidina Qa'qa radiyallahu anhu so beautifully depicted the whole scenario thus in verse. So Qa'qa, I'm going to summarize it. Usually after every battle, he does a poem. And I've been through the poems. Now the whole of the Iraq campaign is going to summarize. In Al-Bidayah, volume 6, page 426, Sayyidina Qa'qa radiyallahu anhu said, we attacked them with mounted troops, and they saw the darkness of death around those leafy gardens. By morning, they said, we are a people who had swarmed over their fertile country from rugged Arabia. So this is beautiful in Arabic. But the meaning is, what he was saying was, because they didn't even know we were coming. They were living in Jannat. They thought paradise. And darkness descended upon them in their orchards and their, you know, peaceful, tranquil, you know, land. And then he says, we swarmed over their fertile country because the Arabs have come. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had swept across Iraq like a violent storm. Like a violent storm, he would now dash to Asham and strike the armies of another proud and ancient empire, Eastern Rome. I was there to put their chestnuts in the fire. Right? So Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu, this is where his blessed name now is left from the Persian campaigns. So whenever you read about the Persian campaigns and you do not see Khalid's name, it's the second phase. If you hear his name, it's the first phase. And how do you distinguish between the two? Khalid took Iraq. He was bleeding on the capital. But Abu Bakr redirected him. And then there was now two war fronts. It still continued in Iraq. for Khalid and most of the forces were now in the Roman legions to deal with the Romans. They came second. And in between that, he did Hajj. Imagine, you know, subhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically the blessed secret pilgrimage of Sayyidina Khalid. And he did it in a way that he did not want anybody to know, including his own men. And subhanAllah, he did it in an amazing way. And then I mentioned why he was so keen to do the Hajj, because it's a jihad. And he was the soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course, I mentioned that he wrote a letter to Al-Madain, warning them for the last time to take heed from their defeats. And then of course, I was mentioning some of the things which made the campaign such an incredible success. And I mentioned a few of the miracles, which I haven't mentioned thus far. And of course now, he's being redirected towards the Romans. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhanallahi rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa asbahu wa asbahu sadaqallahu alazim.